How many people like to do puzzles? Wow. All right. You know, sometimes we'll say to Aaron, give him a puzzle. We'll do something like this. Suppose there's a table right here. We'll say, hey, Aaron, can you do the puzzle? And you hear him go, ugh. So, but the good news is, after Aaron does the puzzle, he feels a sense of accomplishment, right? Who doesn't after that moment where you feel like it's that last piece? You know, it's great to see completion. I'll need some help cleaning this up at the end of the service, but anyway. It's great to see completion occur. There's just something about that. Ask a list maker, why do they make lists? It not only keeps them on track, they value the sense of accomplishment. Any list makers here? Like, you live by the list. And you just know, like, when that last item's checked off, it's like, ding! You know, it's a happy moment. Completion brings closure. An author who finally sees their years of writing their book, now in print, would understand this. You can pray for Brother Dennis. I know he's working on a book, and we want to pray for him. God's really blessed this guy with a lot of things to share. And so, an architect who designs a superstructure and sees it completed. Now, this scene, the first one here, evokes so much emotion for New Yorkers. And I said that a little bit with a Bostonian accent, New Yorkers. This scene evokes a lot of emotion, not only for New Yorkers, but really the nation. This is a picture of the 1,776-foot Freedom Tower being built. And here it is completed, right? Progress should keep pointing to completion. And no one probably summed this up better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. If you go back, Chris, to the previous slide there. Who wants to look at that forever, right? We don't mind looking at the next one. And we obviously know a lot what happened at the Twin Towers, and that's now the replacement, Freedom Tower, 1,776 feet tall. Amanda just had a chance to look up at that tower when she was in New York City, and she says, it's like unbelievable. It's amazing. And so we really want to see our Christian life as a work in progress. We don't want to stay at ground zero. A lot of people stay at ground zero for various reasons. I'm not saying that that's, praise God if you know Jesus Christ and perhaps you're not really where you need to be and all that, but God's destiny for you is completion, and we're going to look at that this morning. You know, deadline living through the Holy Spirit is correct because Jesus could come today or you could leave this life by breathing your last breath today. We see that all the time. I watched a horribly tragic story overnight in Atlanta. The 73-year-old brings his wife to the pharmacy, gets into some scuffle with somebody out at the pharmacy in the parking lot, and he's shot dead. She comes out, her husband's gone. So this is the brevity of life. And in many ways, we need to use that and many other things. And I think really the scripture that Jesus could come. And we are, he's the audience that we really live for. I know we live for one, we live, and our life is an example to one another. But really, Christ knows our life and he wants us moving forward. And this final section of Colossians chapter 1, I believe, and it's on the back of your bulletin, it's salvation's big picture. It's like that tower that started, but it was finished. And nobody can sit around and say, hey, they never finished that tower. And isn't that much like your life and my life, that we want to be part of the finishing work? Jesus Christ is a finisher. And that's, I want to talk a little bit about that before we actually get to the text. So as we look at salvation's big picture and what's already in the works for every believer, did you hear that? Completion is in the works for every believer. Jesus is the one who is building his church. You may come in to your time of evaluation before him at the judgment seat of Christ with not much to show, and some of you have a lot to show. Either way, Christ is going to finish what he started. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Thank God, God knows what's really going on in your life right now and in your heart. God sees the heart. He sees the work that's really begun there. Yes, I believe, though, that you and I can be an active part of that process of being completed. And Jesus said, as a man thinks in himself, so is he, right? So what you think about is contributing to your growth or lack thereof. And correct thinking is so important. So I like to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. This apostle is describing, I believe, if you were to say, what is his mission statement? And Paul is very layered in terms of his dedication and commitment to God and his unique calling by Jesus Christ, his unique position. But if you were to sum up his primary mission, I believe it is spelt out right here as the apostle of Jesus Christ, the apostle of the Lamb. Paul continues the teaching that Jesus announces in the gospel. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body. And this is specifically the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from which God was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Okay, wake us up. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. I really believe that this is salvation's big picture because, number one, it reveals Christ's purpose. Christ's, number two, Christ's program, and Christ's pleasure. Somehow you have to see that there's a great pleasure element in the heart of God, in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, when his people, his bride, his church takes him at his word and allows the Spirit which he's given to work in us mightily. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to wake you up. So here we go. I've been really thinking about how detailed this particular passage is. You know, if you know anything about the apostle, he really wasn't looking. He certainly was God conscious. We know that. The scripture says that he was defending God from his own viewpoint. He was defending the law. He defended God. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And then in his persecution of the early church, he has this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, who Jesus takes it very personally when people are persecuted for him. Christ is the one that we represent. And the apostle was basically putting Christians to death. He had a mission to destroy this movement called the Way. They were claiming of the resurrection. The big issue in the book of Acts is the resurrection. That's it. It's proclaiming that the one who is dead is now alive. And all the scriptures pointed to him, but also what God does here is he shows the establishment of the church. And that's us. 2019, you and I, we continue to be the first fruits. We're those people that God said, I'm going to save them and I'm going to put my spirit in them. And they're going to be sons and daughters to me. They're going to represent me. They are my ambassadors and I'm going to take it personally, Jesus would say, if you're persecuted. And Paul understands this because if you looked at Acts chapter 9 and you see this encounter with Paul and the Lord Jesus, and then one who is summoned by Ananias to the apostle to lead him, also reveals that there's a very specific purpose with the Apostle Paul's ministry. He's going to endure suffering. He's going to endure a lot of hardship. And here he says here in verse 24 and 25, he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Do you realize how God continues to use suffering in the life of the church? A lot of people push away suffering. A lot of people want to say, I don't believe that this is like, this should be my life. And sometimes that is the realm of physical suffering. We can feel like we're alone or we're isolated or we're just, you know, we're unhappy and we're, this is not fair. I've heard a lot of people say it's not fair. There are times I say, this is not, doesn't seem fair. You ever say that? Feel you haven't said it, but you thought it, right? You thought it. We've all think this stuff, and sometimes it isn't fair. It doesn't feel fair. I didn't deserve this. Whatever, you know, we come up all the versions of that. But this is specifically Paul agonizing for the success of the church through the Holy Spirit, and he is so crystal clear here. And I believe this should be the pattern of our thinking as we think about how do we not only endure and serve Jesus, how do we suffer for him in a way that would bring other people to Christ? How could we do that? There's some valuable things here that we don't want to overlook here, because the church right now is being formed. A lot of people think, if I go to church, it's like my life's going to be better, right? My life, and I do believe that there's some great benefit for being in church. But if we only go to church to get our boost for the week and go back into life and recognize that, man, this is a lot harder than I realized. You know, serving Jesus is challenging. Anybody agree with that? Right, but it's awesome too. It's just, it's hard and it's good, right? It's both. Do you know how many times when I sit down to study or to look and it's just like, you know, this isn't a real convenient time to study. I mean, how many of us just want to push away the hard stuff? You know, but the good pastor or the good faithful leader who says, you know what, I'm going to do that in spite of that. I'm going to do what is not natural. This does not come natural to me. You know, some people think this is natural. Click, click, click. 3 to 4 hours a night. And then you wonder, like, I'm not growing. I think the child of God who really learns the Word of God can be effective in a way that is just not wasting your precious time. Time is precious. Time is so precious. And there's so many things that are robbing us or try to rob us of our time. And I just say, if you feel like you've been robbed of your own time and you've made some decisions, this is the day for you to say, God, please, I want to isolate time to grow in understanding of your word. I want to know you better. I really want to grow this year. 2019, it's not too late. It's early. It's early in this new year, and we don't necessarily know what's coming. A lot happened in 2018 around here. I'm like, oh, changes happened. Lives were, you know, people were in heaven and just all these things that, you know, part of our church. And yet I just want to be ready. That's why every day for me, it's like, okay, I'm not going to waste time. Okay, might be tempting for me to waste time, but I don't want to waste time. I want to be diligent to do what God wants. And this is the pattern of the apostle. He's talking about this stewardship. What is he talking about? What is this stewardship that Paul talks about? He's been entrusted with this amazing, amazing privilege to represent church teaching to the world. This is, you get specific church instruction from the apostle. You don't get it necessarily from the Gospels. And Paul talks about this thing was hidden in ages past. The Jews did not see this. The Old Testament scriptures, yes, like in Amos, talks about the Gentiles that are going to come into the millennial kingdom. But there's this period between when Jesus resurrects until he returns. It's this group. It's this special elect people called the church. And guess who can get on it and in on it? Anyone who says, you know, what it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God could not have made salvation any more simple. But as far as your growing is concerned, that's war. Welcome to spiritual war. And when you want to really grow in Christ and you want to take specific instructions that Paul's putting out here, he's given you a pattern of how to think, a pattern about how you think about your suffering. to see this as a privilege? Do you realize that there are things that God wants to reward you that is only going to come probably through a period of suffering in your life? And you know what suffering can look like? Is you don't take revenge on somebody. You leave it with God. You let God work that out. You don't panic when something is just blowing apart. When you're long suffering with somebody who's like can drive you crazy, right? And you say, I'm gonna be there for this person. I'm gonna show them Christ. I want them to see Christ even better than they see him right now. It's perhaps giving money to something in the cause of Christ that you could have put money somewhere else. And so these are things that I believe God wants to reward. And some of these things are we take pains in sometimes in our service to Christ. And this isn't a way I would ask that this church above all would be moved by the Holy Spirit so that when we do whatever we do for the betterment of this body, that Christ always gets the glory. He always gets the glory. And if you're serving him out of some bitterness or some guilt or whatever, just like say, Jesus, I have the wrong attitude here. How could I not do this? Because it's a great love that you've demonstrated for me. See, this is why we call this a relationship with God through Christ. We have a risen Savior, a resurrected Savior who wants to make his home in every one of his believers. But that takes time to grow and to develop. And so Paul talks about this, the Christ program right now is the building of the church. If you really want to know what God's doing on planet Earth right now, look at the building of the church. The problem that we have is we're not all on the same page. The problem within the church of today is that people are not on the page of the apostle in the thinking about the church and how this thing gets built. I was so thankful to see the ladies wrestling through Romans chapter 7. Or is that this coming? It's this coming week. How many people feel like, I have so much guilt, so much shame. My life is so hard. I've been such a jerk. Oh, God is so mad at me. He really must not like me. Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I've done in my life? And they spend 10 years cycling that stuff over and over and over again. You know what church teaching is? That if any man be in Christ, he is or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's church teaching. You want to save yourself gazillions of dollars in psychotherapy? Take that one on, all right? And again, right? I get it. I love what Dennis says. I'm thankful for any church that preaches Jesus. Absolutely. But we want to help people move into the territory that belongs to them. And that's what the apostle is fighting for right here. These are fighting words. These are fighting words for the church. Yes, we're going to go for it. Do your job, right? We like people who do their job, and the Apostle Paul is dedicated to doing his job as the apostle, as tasked by the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. You want to move forward in your life? Take God at his word and say that, and accept the fact that he wants to be at home in you. That is awesome. That his Holy Spirit wants to indwell you. Yes, you're going to still have those moments like, oh, I didn't really mean to say that. You know, the whatever it is, those factors of the cringe factor, there it is. But forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Church teaching. Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter. Christ is the finisher. He announces on the cross, it is finished. Is it any wonder that he wants to finish what he started in every believer? Isn't that awesome? Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. So these are thoughts that we think about Christ's program. Christ is about finishing that today. He wants you to know, I'm at work in you. I am for you. And this is all for Christ's pleasure. Oh my goodness. Jesus says, I'm coming and my reward is with me. See, we have to start thinking like when, you know, it's like, hey, the company, you know, like when you have company over, hey, the company's here, and they throw a party sometimes, you're excited to see. It's like Jesus is here. Wow, Jesus is my home. Wow, it's like, do you make room for him? Do you invite him to your parties? You realize he created you. Do you realize all the expressions of your own heart and life, all the things that bring you joy? Don't you know that God is the author of the things that bring us great pleasure? And this love for one another and family and all that stuff. Where did that come from? Him. God is the author of love, true love. Not some adulterated, corrupted love that just winds up taking you down the path of hell. We don't want that. We want true, the things. That's why Paul would say, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is of good report, think on these things. There's some really good stuff to think on. It may not be channels 4, 5, and 7. All right? And in people's, you know, we just watch these complex stories of people's lives unraveling. Yeah, I get it. And I just continue to camp here every week, and I say, you know, let's get on board. Let's get on board with the good stuff. And there's some wonderful things happening in our church, and we look forward to what God wants to do. But here's this awesome thing. Paul says, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus couldn't make this any more plainly. Could not be any more plain that the completion of the gospel is that Christ is in you, and this is the hope of glory. This is great. And this is what God's doing in the church. And see, these are real things to get excited about. This should be the lifter of your head, so to speak, as the scripture says. God is the lifter of my head. Why? Because he's promised me the things that are in his word. They belong to me. As I was saying last week with J. Vernon McGee, you know, the guy says, I don't believe the word of God is the word of God. He's like, the guy's like, aren't you going to argue with me? He's like, no, because I do believe the word of God is the word of God. And so we have to think about in those terms. Don't argue with people. Peter talked specifically about this, that as you're letting people know that Christ is in your heart, always be ready to give a defense of the reason and of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. You're not going to be a jerk about it. Who wants to be a jerk about that? Christ loved me and died for me. He's resurrected for me. And I want you to know him, right? I want you to know him. Wow, know this love. Get out of your stew and come into this glorious knowledge of what Jesus has done for you. And he will take all your sin. He's already taken it. And if you need to have him, you need to know in your heart he's taken it, you tell him, Lord, I believe you've taken my sin on that cross, and you have freed me from this penalty. There's a penalty for the sinner. It's because they refuse to look on Jesus who took it for them. And so that's what we want so much. We want to fight for this. I'm going to get into it. So here's how Paul wraps up this little portion of Colossians. He says, him we preach. So if you hear me preaching, you're usually hearing me preaching Jesus. I haven't taken the banner down because I don't think there's any other name that I really think is worthy of ever proclaiming. He's awesome. I know it's a Christmas banner. He's my 365-day-a-year banner, okay? And so Paul says, him we preach, warning every man. Warning can be awkward. Warning can be difficult. Warning can be time-consuming. That's why when somebody comes up to you and they give you sort of a warning, you know, like red lights, red zone, the lights are going off. You're going off the rails here. You know, you think that's comfortable? But Paul says, I'm not going to shrink back from this because I know what's at stake. It's your lack of possibly not maturing as a Christian, of a believer, and teaching every man. So he's leaving no stone unturned here, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. And I really believe that for the church, we all need this, but unbelievers need this too. We persuade men. Paul says, as if Christ was begging through us, be reconciled to God. We want to ask God to give us a sense of guts. There's a four-letter word that a lot of us lack. We want guts. We want guts. We want to be able to tell people, because I care. I want the heart of Christ to be pouring through me, so that when I see something that isn't right, I want to be able to deal with that. Mainly that somebody's outside of Christ. Sometimes what happens with Christians is they start picking on everybody's stuff, and the world's a mess, and look at the world, they're doing this, they're doing that. I get it, right? The thing is, we don't want to always just call attention to what the world's doing wrong, because you and I lived in that too. We want to make sure that they can see Christ and that he's the exit. He is the way out. And God takes care of the other stuff. It's like I've been hearing the people in this church is talking about what's going on in the state of New York, about abortion and whatever, up to the last day of the pregnancy, okay? Yeah, you get that because God's opened your eyes to see that, but not everybody's going to see that. So be careful with the landmines that you step on. There are times you're going to have to speak the truth in love, and you're going to have to say what you need to say, but I would say sometimes don't let that be your first step into sharing Christ with somebody. Some of that stuff has a lot of, you have no idea sometimes what's behind a person and their history. So be wise. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom there. It's sometimes easy to call a spade, right? Because we know these things as Christians, but God wants us to be wise. You know, I want more people to know Christ. But I also realize that I don't want the reputation of Christians to be the only thing that they ever do is to complain about what's wrong in the society. Because how do they see Christ in that? Over time, I believe that God leads us so that we are intelligent and talk about things like evolution, abortion, homosexuality, the big ones, the hot buttons, that a lot of pastors don't touch anymore. For fear of getting arrested or whatever. Can't say that anymore. You got to be wise in this day. That's, you got to pray for your pastor, because I want to be wise. I don't want to shrink back from any duty that God wants me to speak, but I don't want anything getting in the way from people seeing Jesus clearly. That's the key thing here. And to me, that's just, you know, a thing that God's been, I believe, working in me. So Paul is saying, we're warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. What does that mean? Mature. 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 This is a word that just translates to maturity. Maturity. I know who I have believed, and I know who is faithful to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say that? Do you know that? If you can say that and you know that, it's because God is maturing you. That when all of and every other thing is going wrong in your life, it's like, you know what? That is what I'm holding on to. This is the stuff that's at stake, is people's emotional and mental sanity in this world. Just look around us. Just look around us, just in Wareham. I understand another pot store is going up the street. We got another one on the other side, right near Toby. And we got this big facility that's going to grow the stuff. Okay, people are getting high because they can't live with reality. Because now they've made this thing, and I understand there's some medicinal reasons people may be consuming or taking pot, but the general population is trying to numb themselves from the pain that they are experiencing in life. And drugs are not the answer. Just look at the opioid crisis. People are just dying. That's why I think you're seeing all this problem with the southern border right now, is because a lot of this fentanyl and all this other stuff is coming in. And people, it's like, that's my family. You got into my family. This drug got into my family. It destroyed my family. See, we need to fight for stuff like this. We need to. See, you think the pastor can't get mad. He can. Right? I want to get mad about the right things, though. I want to get right, and we've seen this. I've seen this in my own family, just what drugs do, what alcohol does. So if I have a strong stance on these things, because I've seen what it can do. My life could have been destroyed. My own life could have been destroyed. But thank God Jesus Christ rescued me. Praise him. And see, Paul says, to this end I labor, striving. And look at this. Not because of my own strength, but of his working, which works in me mightily. So who are you relying upon to do the work of God? Do you know that it's the Spirit of God that God gave to you? That God wants to use you? He wants to use by his Holy Spirit to empower you to serve him mightily, mightily. Paul says this, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. The most important way, I hope you'll hear this, that you're well-pleasing to him, first and foremost, is that you're in Christ. Wow. That's how God does that work. Jesus, I receive what you've done for me. And God says, I'm seating you in righteousness. I'm seating you in my righteousness. Now the rest of our following him is going to be us depending upon him through his Spirit that can work in us mightily. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I trust all are well known to your consciences. Apostle talking to the Corinthians here, and really just saying, you know what? This is really what's at stake. Our life now serving Christ is what's on the table. And God says, I will work in you mightily to do what I want you to do. And let's, as a church, we want to pray that we'll be where God wants us to do. As we open the doors for a missionary to be supported, that we're being led by the Spirit of God to bless this guy so that he can go represent us in places that are difficult. That we can have other churches represent him. No matter what we do, Thanksgiving dinners, you name it, as a church, outreach, growth, future, all of that. As God is working in us mightily, we're doing it for his glory. He wants to reward us. Isn't that great? I'm excited about getting rewarded by Jesus. I don't know what's going to be there, but I want it, you know. I'm going for it. I love that completed picture idea. That I don't want to remain that foundation that didn't develop. Huh, he said he was a Christian. Not really sure. I'm not saying. I'm just saying, sometimes I think when we stay in the unfinished state, some people will wonder, what happened? Did you go on? Why not? And so take Paul's instructions here for you. If you're not reading your Bible, I encourage you to read it. Read an easy translation Bible if you have to. Get yourself the New Living Translation. It does speak a little bit more in plain English, right? So, and then you grow. It's like you can wean off of that and get to the other ones. You can start getting yourself a Bible concordance and start studying words. Like, what does that mean when he says minister, when he says perfect? And there's some great Bible study tools just right on the web. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Let's participate with the Lord this week, this year. God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much that as we develop this understanding, increasing understanding in this day, that we would just really trust you, Father, for the days to come. It's just amazing, Lord, that we are going to be with you eventually. And you've given us a place to serve you, planet Earth, that you came to rescue. That there isn't, that this is what we have to do. In one sense, this is our job. And I pray, Lord, with the different personalities and people, Lord, in this church, I pray you bless them, Lord. You'll pour out your Holy Spirit once again on each heart here for a freshness of power, a joy in loving you, just thanking you, Father, for just what you want to do, because there really is no other reason. That the scripture says, in him we move and live and have our being, that we got it from you. Oh, we came into this world in one sense dead on arrival. We weren't seeking you from the get-go. And we've struggled. Many of us have struggled to know you. But yet, Lord, you've manifested this great picture in Jesus Christ of your love for the world. And we thank you that he's alive forevermore and he's our everlasting, ever-living Savior. We are so grateful, Father, for what you want to do in our lives as your church and as your body. That we would be sensitive to that and give us cause things to be excited, that we would become excited about serving you here. I want to thank you for what you've done in this last year, but we want to keep moving forward. We have more victories to be won. We have more things to do, and we have more ways, Father, of reaching more people for Christ. I thank you, Father, for anybody here this morning who just continues to look to you for their help and their strength. Please, Father, pour out your Spirit on that individual who wants to know you more, that they really want a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit this morning, that the Spirit would give them the joy of serving you, that the joy of the Lord is my strength, that this knowledge of how much Christ loves me is my special invitation again to come to him. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Thank you, Father, for these awesome truths that are in your word. Guide us, I pray. Increase our confidence. Help us to fight the good fight of faith and to finish well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.